I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Hebrews chapter 11, overcoming by faith. You know, this chapter gives us a detailed list of heroes who overcame by faith, proving that faith has always been the means by which man is able to approach God. And this is a fascinating chapter. I'm sure everybody knows that Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. I mean, everybody who's been a Christian for any length of time. So we're going to, actually, right before we get into this, I wanted to read a quote that I put up on Facebook the other day about faith versus reason. Faith does not contradict reason. It goes beyond reason to help you grasp the higher things that reason is unable to attain. In other words, faith gives you the spiritual eyes to see the spiritual things. And spiritual is a higher level of thought than the physical realm, if you would. And reason really can only operate in the physical realm. So reason is good, but it doesn't help you attain higher levels of thought. Though many very, supposedly well-educated scientific people, and obviously a lot of Christians love science, but I'm talking about the atheists, the atheistic scientific people, or the ones that make it their religion to believe in evolution. They believe that reason is the greatest, the greatest tool above all, and it isn't. It can only get you so far. Anyways, thought I'd throw that in as we're talking about faith here. Let's start at verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance or the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith, it gives us that title deed, that ownership, if you would, of all the promises of God. For by it, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the word, now understand, through faith we have an understanding. A lot of people think, well, faith is just, it's just blind, you know, it's just feelings or ignorance even. They'll go so far as to say it's ignorance. But true faith, again, gives us understanding of things greater than this physical realm that we live in today. It's a higher intelligence. Because, you know, again, I'll say this, a lot of people think that faithful Christians are, you know, stupid people. When in fact, a Christian who has true faith is one of the most highly intelligent beings on this earth. They can see things and understand things that worldly people cannot perceive. You know, when you get to what's fascinating is when you get into the book of Revelation, we are shown things from many things from a heavenly perspective or from a spiritual perspective. And in order to understand those things, you have to think many times in the spiritual. And it's fascinating. But anyways, through faith, we understand that the world's were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do appear. In other words, all of the things, the physical things in creation, they were made by invisible things. You know, we hear of the Big Bang and things like that. You know, I don't know exactly how God created it other than by what he said. He said he spoke it and it became and it came into being. What was the process between speaking it and having it come into being? Well, I don't know exactly. But you know, even those who believe in a Big Bang theory are admitting that matter is coming from one big explosion. In other words, matter is coming from something that wasn't there before. At some point, something had to be created out of nothing, or something had to be created from something invisible. So either way, even the evolutionist believes in miracles, if you would, believes in and doesn't even realize it. Anyways, but that's interesting that this is the first thing mentioned in this faith chapter, basically, is the act of creation. We have to have faith that God spoke it and it came into being. That's the foundation of the Bible. It starts there. It starts with creation. And you got lots of even Christians today that are open to evolution and things like that. They're off the path right from the beginning. It's hard to imagine that they truly have any faith, because faith starts with understanding that the creation came from the spoken word of God. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that all things were created by him, by the Word. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Notice it was by what? By faith. That was the key of his offering there. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So, we basically have here in this verse the foundation of all religion upon the earth. There's the religion of Cain, which is a religion of works, man's ability to basically please God on his own, by his own merit. And then there's the religion of Abel, which was a blood sacrifice that was offered in faith. In other words, that blood sacrifice was for a substitutionary, if you would, atonement, or a substitutionary sacrifice. And it was offered by Abel in faith, because he was humble. He knew that his sin required death, and that it needed a blood sacrifice. In other words, basically what you have here all the way back with Abel was a foreshadow of the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in his blood, in his sacrifice, versus the works and merit of man. You know, you look at Hinduism, Buddhism, all these other religions, they're all based off of works. You can, you know, go sit somewhere cross-legged and do yoga and chant ohms. Or, even some denominations among Christendom. They think that if you go through all these different rituals, that somehow that's going to please God. When in reality, there's really only one thing we can offer God, being that the price has been paid. And that's faith. You don't have, in one place in the Bible, it says, our works are as filthy rags in his sight. So we can't fast enough. We can't we should always, you know, nothing wrong with fasting or praying, but those things are not going alone are not going to make you acceptable before God. All right, so here we go. By faith, Enoch was translated or taken to heaven that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. All right, so Enoch was transfigured or brought to heaven because of what? Because of his works? No, because of his faith. Now, there's this whole argument that you can get into, a lot of Christians get into it, is faith versus works. Well, the thing is, if you have faith, it's going to cause you or give you a, if you have true faith, you're going to have a desire to do work. But works are done out of love. Works are done because of your faith. Now, if you just work and you don't really have faith and you think God's going to accept that, forget it. Because your work, again, you might think it's really good. I feed the poor, I help everybody, I'm this very righteous person. And you might think you're doing very good, but your best works, again, are as filthy rags in God's sight. And the only thing that pleases him, the only way you can genuinely please him, good works, I'm sure he likes that and everything. You get rewards based off of works, but it's faith. Because no amount of your own works is going to be enough to cover the wrongdoings that you do. It just is never going to happen. All right? Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, there it says it right there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? I mean, that's a good question. Well, faith is to trust that God means what he says and will carry forth his promises exactly as he has promised. To love him, to lean upon him, to ask for his guidance. And if you lean upon yourself and all the good things that you can do, that's not having faith. And faith isn't just positive thinking. Faith is to trust in God. You know, trust really is the foundation or the true glue in any relationship. If you don't trust somebody, you don't really have a good relationship. That relationship is not good. But when trust is there, the relationship builds, it grows, and so forth. And that's what faith is. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. Think about it. Think about married couples. If one of the people is working on a project or wanting to do something, and if the other one isn't supporting them, that's showing a lack of faith. And that's very harmful to relationships. You have to back one another up. Even if there's a possibility of the endeavor not working. Now, of course, common sense must be applied and you can't have just total blind faith. But there does come a time of submission on both the man and the woman to say, all right. All right. Anyways, we'll go on here. God rewards those that diligently seek him. That's why we study like we do. Verse by verse. You know, a lot of people get into, and it's exciting and stuff like that, but prophecy and stuff like that. But very few people. You know, I noticed most of, like, some of our videos, some of the ones that will have the most views are the ones that deal with politics and prophecy. And I admit that's a very interesting topic. I mean, they get way more views than, let's just say, these regular Hebrew studies or any other verse-by-verse study. And though I like it that they get lots of views, it is a little bit, you know, I don't know the word, disappointing, if you would, that it takes excitement and things like that to get people to want to study versus wanting to go through and listen to everything that God has to say instead of just cherry picking what interests you. Because when you start cherry picking what interests you and you don't take in the whole counsel of God, you're missing a lot and could be could end up finding yourself in a position that you didn't really know what God's plan was, or that you missed out on a lot of things he had to say. And we don't want to do that. We want to diligently seek. That means going through the entire Bible, verse by verse, not just my pet topic. Oh, I like to talk about this. I'm a specializer in this topic or that topic. There is some of that. I'm not going to deny that, but not to the point where you totally ignore the rest of the Bible. And I've seen people do that. And it's not a safe place to be. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, notice, righteousness is by faith. Righteousness is not by the law. It's not by works. We attain righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that's the main proof. That's why this chapter really is in this book of Hebrews, I believe. I mean, we went from the old covenant, the sacrifices, the Levitical legislations and things like that, that were the ABCs, or that all pointed to or were a shadow of the heavenly things or the true reality of what God was trying to teach from the beginning, is that the only way to God is through faith. You know, Noah, I believe it was about 120 years that he was preparing, building this ark. I mean, think about that. A lot of people get impatient about the end coming and things like that. I mean, Noah was working daily preparing for this event. I mean, you know what Noah was preparing for? He was preparing for the end of the world. It's a type of what we're preparing for today. Noah witnessed the end of the world that then was. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3, and a lot of people say, well, that was an age before that. I totally disagree on that, and we'll go into that more in depth when we do Genesis this fall. It's very easy to document that the world that then was, or what's called the ancient world in the book of Peter, was the pre-flood world, the pre-Noah flood world. Things were a lot different then. That world ended and it began anew. It was a worldwide flood. And it began new with Noah, his three sons, Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, and the animals that they brought aboard the ark. Everything. It's amazing that everything, all animal, not fish, but all animal and human life came from that one boat. That was the method of salvation. The whole world was judged, and that ark was the only means of salvation. Just as Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation in the end times. If you are not in Jesus Christ, the judgment's coming for you. If you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, you will be exposed to the judgment of God that is coming. And being that we're talking about Noah's flood, this is a post I made on Facebook here just a little bit ago. There is a replica of Noah's ark that is made in, what state is it now? It's crossed my mind. I'm going there pretty soon. It's right near Cincinnati, Ohio, but it's in, I think it's Williamstown, Kentucky. Northern Kentucky, they're right by Iowa. Anyways, they've built it's the largest timber structure in the world, this replica. And to think that all human and animal life existing today came from that one boat is amazing. And I wrote on here, I can't wait to see this with my family later this summer. And it is going to be so exciting. I think the kids are going to love it. And I mean, to be able to sit at the foot of that ark, I think it's going to be a great object lesson, if you would, by just seeing that symbol of that ark, even though it's just a replica, is going to make the biblical teachings come to life so much more, especially when you have to explain it to your kids. I mean, I think they'll never forget that. They'll never forget how big it is to actually see that that ark. Anyways, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. All right, Abraham was called to leave Babylon. You know, Abraham and his family were very rich. He was leaving the riches of the world. It wasn't like he was just some poor guy and he had nothing else to gain. You know, I suppose like many of us. But he had it all and forsook it to follow Almighty God by faith. I mean, think about that. How many people today would leave all of their worldly possessions, all of their fame, all of their status, all of their prestige, and go just leave it all and follow God? Very few would do that. And I believe that's why Abraham was chosen. He didn't even know where he was going. He just thought, oh, if God's telling me, I'm going. And that's the attitude we have to have. That's what faith is. I trust God. I know he's going to carry me through whatever I need to go through. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It's fascinating. We don't really think of Abraham so much as traveling with his grandson, Jacob. We always think of them as separate. You know, Abraham, there was Abraham, then there was Isaac, then there was Jacob. But at one time, I believe it was until Jacob was like 14 or 15 or so, they were all together. Here it says they traveled together in tabernacles. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Think about that for a minute. You know, Jesus, when he was on the earth, it's interesting that he was actually a carpenter. And it's how befitting that is, because a carpenter's got to lay out plans, blueprints, and design it, and then create the product. And that's what Jesus' first mission was, if you would, even, that we know of. It was his act of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by him. All things were made by the Word. So he was the maker, the carpenter, if you would. Notice this isn't a city made by man like Babylon, a worldly city. They were looking for a heavenly city, one that God had created, a spiritual city that can only be seen or entered in through faith. Verse 11, through faith, Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, she was in her 90s, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. In other words, Abraham and Sarah were too old. They weren't supposed to have kids. They were basically as good as dead, dried up, right? Well, I think there's an interesting type even here of Jesus Christ. You know, when he was nailed to the cross, I mean, in the world's eyes, he was as good as dead. Though we know he arose and defeated death and so forth. But the type, I believe, from Isaac here, or from Abraham having Isaac, is that even though Christ was nailed to the cross, his spiritual converts or descendants, his spiritual seed, became as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Christianity spread throughout the world, even though Christ was crucified. Although he did rise again, but not to be seen by everybody. He was only seen by a select number of people. But anyways, I think that's a beautiful type, that the spiritual seed became as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea through one that was as good as, in the world's eyes, as dead. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, I think it's a good thing to be patriotic, you know, of one's country. But ultimately, our countries will let us down. They are man-made countries and things like that, where our true allegiance must lie is with this city that was built by God. Notice Abraham's allegiance wasn't to any one particular country over and above the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God comes first. I am first a citizen of God's kingdom. Secondly, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And we must anchor on to that, because if we hold on too tight to our physical country and put too much stock into that and not consider yourself to be somewhat of a stranger even within the country, you might be proud of your country, but you still have to consider yourself a stranger on this earth, because you're true citizenship lies in New Jerusalem. And we are strangers and pilgrims. And it's beginning to feel more like that even in our own country today. For those of you who live in America, now that's becoming more and more anti-Christian or post-Christian. We're starting to feel like strangers and pilgrims wandering around, like we don't belong. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Of course, Abraham offering up Isaac was the type of God offering up his own son as a sacrifice for the world, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He wanted his bones taken out of Egypt and buried in the promised land. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. All right, the parents showed faith. They weren't afraid of the consequences. That's one part of faith. You know, when we get into these latter days here and the government starts persecuting us for our beliefs, we have to have faith in God and not fear the wrath of the king, the earthly king. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, Moses had it all. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You couldn't basically, next to the Pharaoh, in the world here, you couldn't have a greater position than what Moses had. And he forsook it. Again, how many people would do that today? How many people with that amount of fame and prestige and honor among the world, among the worldly type people, would forsake it? We have to have that attitude. We cannot choose to love the world. The world is can be tempting. It can allure us. Because it does offer pleasure. There is pleasure in sin, but only for a season. And then it all falls apart. It all comes crumbling down. And we'd much rather deny the world and have true joy and happiness in the kingdom of God. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, Moses chose the way of Christ over the riches of Egypt. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How could he see him who was invisible? How could Moses see God before he had actually left and all that? Before he forsook Egypt? He had faith. His faith enabled him to see something higher than the earthly riches of Egypt. To see something more valuable, something more important, something way more profound. And without faith, he wouldn't have been able to see that. If you talk to somebody who doesn't have faith, their sight, they are blind. They can only see through human reasoning. And human reasoning is a very limited tool. I don't care how smart you are in reasoning or in the education of this world, if you don't have faith, you're as good as dumb when it comes to seeing the higher things. Faith gives you true intelligence. The intelligence on a higher plane. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Still going on about Moses. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Why didn't the Egyptians make it through the Red Sea? Because they lacked faith. as we get through to the end times, if you're stuck in the ways of the world and your faith is lacking, you will be drowned in it. You will not overcome. But if you have faith, you will make it through on dry ground to that promised land, that city, that spiritual city called New Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is Almighty God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. I believe it was a scarlet cord that was thrown out the window for the Israelite spies to escape the city by Rahab. And what's interesting about that is that scarlet color, that color of blood, symbolized the only way of escape in this world, if you want to call it that. The only way of salvation, I would say, is through the blood of Jesus Christ and by faith in Him. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. I mean, all of the great heroes, they overcame by faith. Verse 33, he says it right here. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Think about that. They subdued kingdoms by faith. Just as we are going to defeat that beast of Revelation. That false kingdom of the Antichrist. By faith. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's how powerful faith is, my friends. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of aliens or the armies of the foreigners. Would to God that our people had enough faith today to put a stop to illegal immigration that's harming our country. But they're afraid to stand up because of political correctness. They don't want to be called a racist, though it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with law and order and actually having a country that is secure and safe. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I mean, many of these people were tortured, these Christians before us. And they wouldn't accept, in other words, when it says they wouldn't accept deliverance, they were probably told things like, if you just renounce Christ, we will not torture you anymore. You will be fine. We will let you go. And they said, uh-uh. I would rather die and be in God's kingdom and obtain a better resurrection than to live in shame. Verse 36, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. These things are coming, my friend. You can already see it. You can already see it. The persecution of Christians happening by saying that we are hateful because we think that homosexuality is an abomination. It's something that is filthy and disgusting in the eyes of God. And for making that stance, we are called haters and bigots, and they're going to try to pass laws to punish us eventually, probably in bonds and imprisonment and maybe even torture. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. They were true strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I believe one day we will be, as Christians, we will be without a country, without a home, because every country around the world will probably begin to persecute Christians. And we will be this this element on the earth that the world hates and despises so much that they will want to get rid of us. Are you ready for that? Your faith will see if you are. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they had faith in the future promises. They had faith in the coming new city of Jerusalem, though they had not obtained it yet. And though we have not entered into the gates of New Jerusalem today, we have faith that one day we will, if we remain steadfast, if we remain obedient, if we keep our faith until the end. Again, there is no way to please God without faith. So, you know, instead of trying to work really hard on doing something to please God, I mean, it's great to follow His commandments. We are supposed to do our best. But if there's one thing you need to struggle with first, it's not necessarily obeying the commandments. Again, not saying not to, but it's to work on your faith. Strengthen it. Find out if it's weak. Find out why. Shore it up. Because that is the thing that will get you through to the end so that you can be a Christian. Overcomer. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all of those who have gone before us to teach us the steadfast lesson of faith and how through faith we can conquer kingdoms, conquer nations, endure persecution, and all sorts of other things. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching